Thank you. You may be seated. And now we are going to invite up here our speakers from our congregation. So Linda, you're up first.
My favorite holiday. Since I found my place with the Unitarian Universalists and no longer accept the tenets of faith of my Presbyterian past, the holiday seems to take on a different meaning. Easter no longer means wearing a new dress and going to the sunrise service to worship a risen Savior, but I continue to color eggs to celebrate the arrival of spring. Christmas is the most confusing to me. The carols and ringers, bell ringers, draw me like a moth to a flame, and I continue to put up my small tree with the ornaments and colored lights, but the rest of the traditions make me just a little uncomfortable. It is getting easier, especially when our YE's children put on the celebration of light pageant. Each tradition has its unique way to celebrate, but we all celebrate peace and goodwill. My favorite holiday is winter solstice. When we lived in Pennsylvania, we usually had snow in December. A small group of UUs would gather over a huge bonfire. Our ritual was to write down our worries and regrets on small pieces of paper and toss them into the fire. We followed this with the Native American ritual of burning sage to cleanse us for the new year. So I will share my little poem with you. Winter solstice, the shortest day, the longest night, millions of stars shimmering in the inky sky, a radiant moon illuminating sleeping fields and snow-covered branches, a crackling fire echoing in the silent night, warming all who come. A time of reflection, a time of letting go, flinging regrets and worries and sadness into the leaping flames. The ancient need to dance, to sing, to tell stories, to hold each other, feeling our strength, feeling our spirits rising, waiting for the return of the radiant light, the return of hope and new beginnings.
Thank you, Linda. And now Danielle.
Last time I was up here, I had to admit that I can't make bread at all. This time I have to admit that I don't do Christmas at all. This is as festive as this lady gets. I don't really enjoy it. I don't do the nativity bit. I don't do Santa. And I have to say, I don't like Christmas music at all. Sorry. Every year I'm forced to really think about what this time of year means to me personally and how we can be present as a family during all of this festivity. It gets really hard. Some years are harder than others. But over the years, I've come to realize that what resonates with me isn't the traditional tree stocking gift bonanza or lights all over the house, but it's the fact that seemingly by magic, the world has changed. We've entered winter. It's the season that I feel in my bones. And while there are similarities to Christmas and the decor we use, the meaning is different for me. It's a meaning that connects me to the earth and the ever-present reminder that death is on the horizon for us all, so we should enjoy the light while we have it. This connection was gifted to me by my mom when I was in my 20s. When I was in my 20s, my mom rediscovered herself She had divorced my dad and was on a journey to really find out who she was at her core. She's always felt connected to our Native American heritage and decided to study the Lakota medicine wheel with a small group of women. After she went through this process, she was transformed, and she decided to then teach this information to other women, and that's where I got involved. I joined one of her first sessions with six other women and began a year-long journey to rediscover who I was at my core at that point. This journey profoundly changed the way I interact with the world and the earth. We followed the natural cycles of our world in a process that forced us to establish rituals, dig deep within, and find ways to protect ourselves and gather knowledge to continue this dance we do in life. The winter in particular is a time of deep and profound reflection. It's the looks within gate. The solstice is a time to sit in silence with the terror and delight of your own thoughts and feelings. It's a time to really evaluate the good we're doing in the world and the negativity we're putting out there. It's a time to burrow deep within and not shy away from the answers we find there. The winter cycle is often the hardest one to travel through in the medicine wheel. Who wants to look that closely at ourselves and see where we have screwed up? No one wants to, right? Sitting with our own darkness is a challenge, but once you pass through, you can look at it for the gift that it is. After the silence comes the renewal, the rebirth that you so need after all that work. We come out and give praise that there is light coming back to us. We give praise that we can light candles, light a fire, share food, and share laughter with those around us. We come out of this with a closer understanding of ourselves and a renewed sense of gratitude for our lives. So that's what I'm celebrating right now. The generosity of the earth that sustains me and the light and dark that blesses me. And I will just close with this poem titled Take Joy from the Tasha Tudor Christmas Book. I salute you. There is nothing I can give you which you have not. But there is much that while I cannot give you, you can take. No heaven can come to us unless our hearts find rest in it today. Take heaven. No peace lies in the future, which is not hidden in this present instant. Take peace. The gloom of the world is but a shadow. Behind it, yet within our reach, is joy. Take joy. And so at this solstice time, I greet you. With a prayer that for you, now and forever, the day breaks and shadows flee away.
Thank you, Danielle. Now we are going to slide one more hymn in. This time it is from the Gray Hymnal, if you would rise in body or spirit. It is number 387, The Earth, the Water, the Fire, the Air. And because this one is so short, we are going to go ahead and do that three times. Oh. So you are welcome to rise in body or spirit, 387. Thank you. You may be seated, and now we will hear from M.A.
I was going to say this is hot off the presses, but as you can see, it's not quite off the presses yet. We're used to hearing the word presence this time of year, spelled P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. The word presence, spelled P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, not so much. And yet, that is what this winter solstice has been all about for me. For starters, I was the person on the worship committee who said, we should have a winter solstice service, since this morning is so close to that day on the calendar, and it would honor the Seventh Unitarian Universalist principle, our interconnectedness with the earth. When I was later asked for a title to this service, I quickly came up with Winter Solstice, a time of deep renewal. Those both look good on paper. However, in neither instance, not the holiday itself, nor renewal of any depth experienced through some sort of ritual or even just paying much attention to what was going on around me, did I know the first thing I was talking about. Because here's the deal. I do feel close to the planet. When I lived on some Oregon land in the country east of here 45 years ago, it did open my spiritual pores. For a kid from a mid-sized industrial city south of Boston, I was introduced to coyotes, mountain streams, the abundance of everything growing green. And that was absolutely the engaged beginning of my joining this congregation 25 years later. But I don't observe this Earth-centered day as a holiday, and I don't have anything set up in my house that gives recognition to my learning from the land. So I looked online for some things related to the solstice, and I found a brief article written by a mom about what she does with her three kids, including setting up an altar on which they put things from nature. I thought, I can do that, and brought out a number of beautiful things that have meant a lot to me in my life, like pine cones, intricate seed pods, and other dried natural materials I have, which otherwise just sit in boxes and closed drawers. Good beginning. But now that I'd opened that door, the universe had other ideas as well for me to be present to. This solstice time of year is about endings and beginnings, death and life for real. Earlier this week, I had a glowing conversation with a dear friend from her hospital bed. And truth is, she might not be going back to her apartment this time. They may have run out of treatment options. I'll hear soon, maybe even later today. But how striking, I thought. Here on one day, we have such a vitality-filled conversation. And then to learn yesterday, that could be the last time we ever speak. Yet also this week, I heard from a cousin of mine I haven't seen in close to 60 years. He decided to connect with me, for who knows what reason. But here we are again, at this intense time of year. So I'm not surprised in that regard. We've now exchanged a couple of emails, although where we go from here, who knows. My mother felt particularly close to his mother, and I told him so. What this feels like is opening up a family time capsule, and some caring coming from this person I also didn't think I'd ever speak with again. Emotions, love and loss, emotions, love and loss, and being present to all of it, the joy and the sorrow. I wonder what you've got stored. in the boxes and closed drawers at your house. Thank you, and blessed be.
Thank you, MA. And now we will hear from Jocelyn.
I was fortunate to grow up in the Big Sky Unitarian Universalist Fellowship in Helena, Montana. It was pretty tiny at the time, like maybe 20 to 25 people. It's grown to about this size now, and it's a real joy for me to visit it when I'm back there. But my favorite service, like Linda shared earlier, my favorite service of the year was the solstice service. It was led by our member Colleen. So Colleen was the first out lesbian I ever met at the age of 10. And she was a practicing pagan, and in generally a real big deal in my 10-year-old eyes. I really looked up to her. Other than this service, a lot of what went on at Big Sky UU was a pretty extreme end of the secular humanism. A lot of pretty dry kind of lecture-style talks from our members. I'm sure very interesting stuff. I'm probably also remembering this through my 10-year-old self. There were just two other youth, so no religious education program really, and when I chose to go, I was just there, here, with the regular service. And I did choose to go more often than you might expect beyond the solstice service. But that service, there were lots of candles involved, extra candles, lots of singing, some chanting, and generally my first real introduction to ritual and what that could mean in other people's lives, in the world, and in my life in particular. I know a lot of people come to Unitarian Universalism from traditions that may not be a good fit for them, or where rituals are completely divorced from personal meaning. And I'm sure there's at least some degree of preference here too, what we're all kind of drawn to in our lives. Rituals can be overdone, easy to make fun of. It can be kind of like theater or role play, and some of us are more into that than others. But with all of that, I do think that ritual at its best can tap into something deeply human and universal. We're using some kind of focus and action, like lighting a candle as we do every week, or placing a slip of paper in a bowl of water as we might choose to do today. We're taking this deliberate action that slows us down, brings us into the moment. We are moving with care and thoughtfulness. We might say a few words, our own or someone else's, the kind of words we might not otherwise hear ourselves saying in our everyday lives. And I think we are doing what our ancestors did as a matter of course in their day-to-day lives. They might have done it quite earnestly and unselfconsciously, integrated into nature, not seeing themselves as separate and apart from it, but just moving with it. So, I have a solstice pizza tradition, which has evolved over the years. It started as a New Year's Eve gathering in my late teens, just some friends getting together to make pizzas from scratch together and just honor that passing of one year into the next. We didn't really have any of our own traditions around that, so we were learning together what it means to create tradition and ritual. One year we weren't available on New Year's, so I thought of solstice pizza, and it had a certain ring to it. I wrote up some simple quotes on slips of paper, and we all went out into the garden at sunset and went around and read these quotes and lit some candles, and then just carried that all back inside to make and eat our pizzas. I am a regular pizza maker, every other Sunday, to be precise. So this part of it for me, this seeing it as a ritual and the meaning behind it, I think is something of offering, gifting this this labor, this food to my friends and my neighbors who may not have a pizza practice of their own, or maybe they do, but they can come share in mine. I think of it as a pretty everyday kind of food. You can have your dough in the freezer and whip it out pretty quick, but it's also just inherently celebratory and to me. It's feast worthy. It's simple and a feast at the same time. So it can sometimes turn out at these gatherings a little bit like stone soup too. Everyone brings their own toppings. You never know quite what you're gonna get. Sometimes there's tons and tons of garlic and all the pizzas are super garlicky and it's amazing. And other times we have ingredients I would never have expected to put on my pizza and I get to try that. So it's all of this beauty and difference that people are bringing together to transform into this collective whole. So I brought a few solstice pizzas to share with you all today. I even experimented with a gluten-free crust for those who are interested in that. We had a friend come for the first time this year who's gluten-free, and I found the Bob's Red Mill mix. It was on sale at my co-op and gave it a go. It does have eggs in it. But it turned out fine. It's good. I'm a fan. So if you have a slice, I invite you to take a moment to slow down and savor it as a kind of mini ritual in itself. We can say with good humor and cheer, and also at the same time in all seriousness, bless you, O pizza, for being a base for all of our favorite things, all of our toppings, everything we bring to the table, for bringing us together and feeding our bodies and our spirits. You can try this with carrots or whatever we have today, too. Feel free to hit me up if you'd like a sample carrot blessing. Thank you, Jocelyn. All right, so you should have received two slips of paper when you came in. If you did not, please feel free to grab them. I think there are still some on the table there. Just hang on to them now. You'll need them here in a little bit. So if you did not get two slips of paper, go ahead and grab two slips of paper and one of those markers that we're going to return at the end. All right, I will let you all get settled back in here and invite you into a spirit of meditation, prayer, or quiet reflection. Close your eyes if you wish, place your feet on the floor, and make yourself comfortable. Breathe. As you pause and sit with the words, stories, and reflections we've heard here today, please consider and write down one thing you're releasing, a worry or regret or sorrow from the past year, on one of those slips of paper. And on the other slip of paper, write down something you're inviting or cultivating, a wish or hope or intention for the upcoming year.